Welcome to the newest Cutting Edge episode, OTRs. Today's episode is going to focus in on the effects of feeding a live yeast rumen supplement on feed intake and weight and gain performance in calves at weaning. So let's get right into it, OTRs. Big takeaway number one. Even in the face of a moderately aggressive milk limit feeding ration, improvements were seen at weaning using a yeast type rumen development supplement. Many of these milk limiting rations are thought to better develop the rumen than high milk rations, and therefore producers ignore supplementing these types of rations via other means. Big takeaway number two. Once again, researchers have shown that adding probiotics, even rumen specific yeasts, did not improve weight gain in wet calves. The positive benefit of probiotics in the normally functioning animal, or the monogastric early ruminant, still remains hazy at best. Big takeaway number three, OTRs. Once again, researchers have found that the addition of pro-ruminant development products improved or maintained rates of gain through the transition period, but not into the period beyond the first week of transition. Researchers in this study found that during the week of weaning, animals on the yeast supplement product gained almost 2.5 times as much per day as unsupplemented animals. So what's the ultimate message, OTRs? The ultimate message is that supplementation with pro-rumen development products can improve transitional gains and prevent regression in average daily gains over the weaning period. The economic return on this investment, however, remains to be determined, as well as the duration by which the calves must be fed to achieve this result. For more on these thoughts and more information on this article, stay tuned, OTRs. So the real challenge is, how do veterinarians like us, who don't have the time, resources, or financial backing of a multi-million dollar company, who are faced with irregular work schedules, on calls, and emergencies, how can we facilitate our own personal and professional growth so we can continue to offer superior service to our clients while still remaining competitive in today's market? That is the challenge, and this podcast will provide you the roadmap to its solution. I'm your host, Dr. Eric, and welcome to Operators to Owners. Welcome back, OTRs. Today's article is titled, The Effect of Feeding Levucel, Rumen-Specific Live Yeast on Feed Intake and Weight Gain Performance of Calves During Weaning. This article was published in the Journal of Applied Animal Nutrition in 2017, and it was published by the authors Turney, Clay, and Waldron. The research was done by the LWT Animal Nutrition Company and was funded in part by a Calligan Innovation Grant. The objective of today's research was to determine the effect of feeding a rumen-specific live yeast on feed intakes and body weight gains of calves at weaning. Now, let me give you a little forward. I usually avoid research that has been clearly funded by companies seeking to prove their products. But it wouldn't be prudent of me to ignore information that is backed up by other studies. Ever since Cutting Edge article number 21, I've been looking for a product that could produce a similar result to the rumen inoculation the researchers of that trial performed. While cleaning out my desk this week, I stumbled across this article a rep had given me a while back, and it's similar data to this inoculation study, and it was difficult to ignore. With this in mind, I present this article to you today with a grain of salt, and under the understanding that I would love to hear your feedback on the article and your personal anecdotes on the use of such products. Please feel free to post your thoughts within the OTO Facebook group, which can be joined at otovets.com/Facebook. With that said, OTRs, let's dive right into this article. First, the interesting background information. A weaning age of 6 weeks and older requires a suitable rumen to digest forage-based diets prior to the weaning period. To improve this transition, We often feed highly palatable concentrates and provide forages to make the transition more gradual. In a recent Hordes article, it was suggested that this could be achieved with 90 pounds of total intake on a high digestible carb ration or 150 pounds of total intake on a low digestibility carbohydrate ration. Now, studies stemming back to 1995 by Yoon and Stern and continuing through Gudez in 2008 have shown production and health benefits of feeding a Saccharomyces cerevisiae yeast strain to cattle. This rumen-specific yeast can be packaged into a saleable product, and in this study's case, a product called Levucel. According to the authors, this strain of Saccharomyces was selected to maintain proper rumen pH, fiber digestion, and rumen development in young ruminants. Gaveo in 2005 showed improved calf weights at weaning and improved feed intakes for animals on this Levucel yeast feed additive. Sautrieres, Durand, and Fonti in 2001 also showed supplementation improved total bacterial and protozoal colonization in lambs. Likely, this caused the improvement of NDF and total tract digestibility, which was found by Gudez in 2008 and Diaz da Silva in 2010. Lesmeister in 2004 and Comet in 1993 concluded that the Levucel product and other yeast products like it have known impacts on rumen development and function, improving overall calf performance. So what exactly did this study do? The researchers in this study selected 60 male Friesian cross dairy calves and housed them in group pens of 10 animals per pen, 6 pens total, and fed them on automatic feeders. 3 of these groups were assigned to control and 3 to treatment, the only difference between these groups being the addition of this Levucel Saccharomyces product being added to the starter feed. These calves were then fed a diet of 1 pound of a 23-20 milk replacer between the days of 4 and 12, and 1.7 pounds of the same replacer between the days of 12 and 42. During this wet calf period, they were also supplemented with a 20% protein starter containing or not containing the treatment, as well as offered free choice straw. The calves were then monitored for weekly weight gain, daily feed consumption, and average daily gain and average daily feed intakes and health events. On day 42 of the trial, the calves were completely weaned and provided access to water and ad lib 16% protein starter. At this time, they are also placed on grass pasture. Yet again, the calves are monitored for weekly weight gain, daily feed consumption, average daily gain, average daily feed intake, and health events. So what did the authors conclude? The authors concluded that getting animals over the weaning period without performance losses is important in terms of value of the weanlings when moving them through the additional system or selling them. Secondly, the authors concluded that the first week of weaning can cause losses in intakes and rates of gain, but feeding a pro-rumen Saccharomyces yeast product prevented this intake reduction, improved gains, which the authors attributed to improved rumen functionality. Finally, they concluded that the long-term benefits of improved rumen function include improved feed efficiency, milk production, and reduced nitrogen waste, in the long term, impacting the production system positively. So what are my thoughts on this OTRs? As I suggested in the foreword, I've been looking to revisit the concept of the transitional calf rumen ever since our cutting edge article number 21, which discussed the inoculation of lambs and the subsequent improved performance during and after the transition period. Several of my operations struggle with the calf transition period, either with gains, health, or just general thriftiness of the animals. The potential to positively impact these operations made it too hard to pass up on reviewing this article, despite its clear ties to industry. With that in mind, let's dive right in. We've already established that concentrate and forage intakes are critical to the early rumen development. and subsequent weaning success. Recent research suggests that 90 pounds of highly fermentable carbs or 150 pounds of low digestible carbs must be consumed prior to weaning for successful rumen development. And this was reinforced in the Cutting Edge article number 19 with research by Bitter, which showed that the level of starter intake at week 5 of age drove the success of calves at weaning and post-weaning. The driving factor behind this is the establishment of proper rumen flora. The correct population of bacteria, yeast, and protozoa resulting in appropriate amounts of each VFA and subsequent rumen papilla development. As seen in Cutting Edge article number 21 and suggested in the introduction of this article, the establishment of protozoal colonization plays a particularly large role as it produces the most out of all of those subgroups of the VFA butyrate, which has the largest effect on rumen development. Creating an external supplement to mimic the inoculation model from that article number 21 would be key to success in the future. That study showed a 2x increase in average daily gain during the weaning period, negating the common problem of decreased feed intakes during this time. Many producers attempt to mimic these results by limit feeding milk to encourage increased concentrate intakes and accelerate rumen growth. My concern in these systems is that any challenge, environmental, disease, or social, will cause these types of calves to falter due to a lack of overall energy reserves. This study seems to kind of toe the middle ground in terms of milk intake, while at the same time supplementing the calves for improved rumen development. It would be interesting to see this study repeated in a low milk volume ration or an accelerated or ad lib type milk ration and see the supplement's effect on weaning and post-weaning average daily gains. Now, with that said, the authors also found that supplementation with yeast for rumen development during the wet period provided no significant difference in rate of gain, straw, or starter intakes between the control and treatment groups. This aligns with the previous inoculation study, which found a similar lack of difference in total dry matter intake through supplemented calves, though that study's inoculated calves did consume more carbohydrates than the control group. Where the true difference can be found between the control and treatment groups was the week of weaning. Here, the treatment calves consumed 38% more starter the first week of weaning and 66% more starter in the second week than their peers. This is best shown by the difference in intake on weaning day number one. The control group only ate a total of 8.6 kgs of starter that day versus the treatment group, which consumed 24.9 kgs of starter, a threefold increase over their peers. The clear difference in intake results in improved average daily gains in the treated calves the week of weaning. Treated calves gained just short of 1.5 times as much as the control calves, but this difference disappeared in the second week, even in the face of improved feed intakes over the control group. So what does this all mean? Well, it appears that yeast supplementation with the Saccharomyces cerevisiae strain improves the transition period from wet to weaned calf. It also leads me to believe that the harnessing of rumen-specific probiotics could be a plus to all transitional calves. Using such a product would require little labor input for the farm, but could have huge positive outputs for that operation. The last consideration is cost and duration. I find it hard to believe that programs seeking to utilize these types of products would need to do so until about 3 or more weeks of age. Until 20 days of age, the calf really isn't taking in any great quantity of starter, unless they're on a very limit-fed liquid diet. Although the early impact, or lack thereof, of this probiotic is conjecture on my part, I'm seeking a way to reduce the economic impact of using such a product on the producer. And like so many of you are thinking, I still wonder if the 1 week of improved average daily gain is worth the financial investment. While the transition period for calves is high risk in terms of coccidia, respiratory disease, and nutritional scours, would this product have enough benefit to justify its use? From a disease standpoint, we know a pneumonia event costs about $200 per animal of profitability that will really never visually be seen as a loss. Similarly, severe coccidia infections or outbreaks can stunt calves for life, as well as predispose them to other diseases, such as the aforementioned respiratory disease. Additionally, if we can improve early rumen function during this period, we could potentially improve long-term feed utilization, milk production, and overall efficiency. Again, all metrics that are difficult to prove to a client as they are unforeseen variables in a complex system. Therefore, perhaps the most prudent use of this information is to just present it to a client and let them decide, rather than overtly recommending supplementation. Certainly, some dairies with weak transition periods could benefit from such a product. This means educating and communicating the potential benefits and risks to your producers would fall well within your role as a non-biased third-party advisor. However you seek to use this information, I think that it's a very interesting study, despite it being industry-funded, because it seeks to utilize much of the historic data we have on transition calves and rumen development and leverage that through the use of a supplement to improve production during that time frame. Well, I hope you guys got something out of this article, It's Yours. I really enjoyed reading it, and it has stimulated a lot of thought in how I could apply this in my practice. I've got a producer meeting in about 2 weeks, and I think this is going to be one thing that I'm just going to throw out there as something they could potentially try. Again, not overtly recommending it, but saying there is research out there, and it's backed by independent studies as well. Thanks for joining me today, OTRs. Until next time, carry on.
If you liked this content and want more, join our OTO community at otovets.com/Facebook. Also, check out our blog at otovets.com/blog. And don't miss our cutting edge episodes where we cover the latest in peer-reviewed scientific research related to large animal veterinary medicine. You can find the written context at otovets.com/cutting edge, or you can listen to it at our podcast at otovets.com/podcast. Please join our community for an active discussion about today's podcast, past podcasts, and other decisive topics within veterinary medicine. Thanks again for joining us today, OTOers, and carry on.